because they have to shepherd me, so right. I'm just playing along with her. But yes, he actually, someone told me to do that last night on the script.
What's for that?
He's like, can you do 5 deletes for me? I want to get the group, like, big comments.
Very good. So just because it's 2 new faces from last week, so I'll just do a little recap of what we did last week. We explained that, firstly, what the idea of Bitachon is. Like, we all, like, there's Ani Maamins that we say every day. Whatever, they're in the back of the set, and I won't tell them every day, but there's Ani Maamins that we know, you know, the most famous one that we believe that Mashiach's going to come. But what does it mean? What's the difference between Emunah and Bitachon? Like, Emunah is a belief, and Bitachon is a trust. It's a sense of like, a security, that you like, feel safe with the knowledge. So we used a mashal last week of, you know, if you ask someone if they want to have pizza or sushi, so the guy says, just give me a minute to think about it. So what's he thinking about? He knows what pizza is, he knows what sushi is, but he wants to see which one feels right. So bitachon is the process of taking it from a knowledge into a feeling, and we get into many situations, and the whole Shaar Bitachon, he actually talks about, like, basically every single sort of situation possible that a person could be in where the bitachon is going to be necessary, where the idea of bitachon, and really the real translation of bitachon, is peace of mind, is tranquility. So when things, we're going to see by the end of the sefer that there's no such thing as something going wrong. There's things that might seem wrong to us because we have an expectation on a certain level, but really Hashem only does good. And when something seems wrong, it's just because we're looking at it from the wrong point of view. And the Shaar Bitachon is going to teach us how to look at everything and realize that everything comes from Hashem. So we'll start in. Yeah. Literally, that's the main idea of bitachon, is the menuchas nefesh that it gives you, because then nothing can go wrong. You could be right, you know, when, like, a person sitting in traffic, let's say, yeah. So you see a wave suddenly jumps up, that's going to be another 10 minutes longer. When you realize everything's from Hashem, then that notification that comes up is also from Hashem. So it's fine, okay. Like, Hashem is looking after us, and we don't have to worry about the repercussions of our acts, because as long as we're doing, like, when Nachshon Ben Amnadav walked into the water, it doesn't make any sense to walk into water when you know you're going to drown. But he knew that once he's walked into the water, he doesn't have to worry about what the repercussions are, because he realized that Hashem runs everything, and this is what Hashem wants, and therefore, if he dies, great. And if he doesn't die...
I'm sure there were Nachshons that walked into the water and drowned.
There probably was, because one of the main things we're going to see in Bitachon is that you have to believe that the channel can work. Yeah. Like, you know, when you're doing like Hishtadlut, you have to believe that this Hishtadlut, I've actually brought this picture along. I've had it on my phone for like a while. I've never actually printed. I've got ChatGPT to touch it up. And the idea is that the guy's fishing. The Hishtadlut is that he has to believe that this is the way to get fish into my basket. So that's therefore that's what he's doing. But it doesn't mean that that's where the fish is going to come from. So it works, this idea of Bitachon, most people use it when it comes to money. That, you know, either when they need money, or when it's got to do with work, when they're going into like a business meeting, that they want a business meeting to work out. But it really, as we're going to see, it applies to all areas. It applies to relationships. It applies to like, even davening and learning. You know, like, someone can wake up late and be really upset because they always make sure to get to Shacharis on time, and they're really upset with themselves that they woke up late. But that is also the plan of Hashem. As in, every single thing that we have around us is all from Hashem. And the more we learn about it, the more we see it, and the more we see it, the more calm we can feel, because we know that we are in good hands at all times. So let's read inside. Ba'bitachon ha'el ha'alikim yisparach levadai. Omar Machaba. So this is the introduction. So Shaar Bitachon is the fourth part of a sefer called Chovos HaLevavos. And the preceding part to this is Shah Avoidas Ha'elikim, which I've not learnt, but he says here, Mipnesha Kodam Mamareno Bechiev Kabbalas Avoidas Ha'elikim, because we have previously discussed the obligation to accept the service of God. Ra'isi Lahavi Achrav Masha Husarach Yosem Mikol Hadvarim La'ovet Ha'elikim Yisbarach. Therefore, I figured now would be the appropriate time to discuss that which is the most necessary for a person who wishes to be a servant of Hashem. V'hu habitachon olav b'chol drachav, and that is someone that relies on Hashem in all its matters. Ba'avo mashiyesh bo min ha'toyalios hagdolis b'inyan ha'teira of inyan ha'olam, and by doing so, there will be great benefits both in Torah matters and in worldly matters. So he's saying that to be an Eved of Hashem, the most important thing is a sense of security. Now we know that with Hashem, we have two sorts of relationships that we have with Hashem. We have that we are an Eved and that we are a son, which when we look at Hashem, it's Avinu and Malkeinu. What's the idea? That every father wants to give his kids everything. A father just wants to always be able to say yes, but doesn't always have the means. A king has the means to say, but doesn't have that connection. Hashem is both Avinu and Malkeinu. He's got the connection and he has the means, and we have to trust that he loves us and that he wants to give us everything, and it's going to give us some great benefits, both in Inyan HaTorah and Inyan HaOlam. So the first one, he says, and this is the most important one, the controls are in. Among the Torah benefits, on page 4, among the Torah benefits is menuchas nafshei, is a tranquility of the soul. It's a tranquility of the soul which is free of worry as a result of his reliance on God, just as a servant is bound to place his trust in his master. Now, when a servant is going to his master, he doesn't take anything with him. He doesn't take food with him. He doesn't take money. He doesn't need to take anything with him because he knows that there's going to be a two-way service. I'm going to have to do for my master whatever my master wants of me. So he wants me to change his bedding, to do his laundry, etc. And as a result, he's going to provide me with food, with drink, with like everything else that I could possibly need. So that is how we are meant to... that is the tranquility. So in like a certain sense, they say that the cleaner in like a massive factory sleeps better at night than the boss of the factory. Why? Because the cleaner doesn't have anything to worry about. He knows that he just has to do this, and he has a paycheck coming in every month. He doesn't need to worry about all the different things. So to us, with Hashem, we need to realize, have this full reliance on Hashem, like a servant, and we can then have a peace of mind that everything for us is taken care of. So he says, the issue is that if you do not place your full trust in Hashem, then it means that you're placing your trust in an entity other than God. Because there's no such thing as not believing in anything. Like even an atheist, they believe to a certain level in their own ego. Everyone is believing in something, because otherwise we won't be able to cope. If we didn't have what we need, we won't be able to cope. So there's always something that we're trusting on. Either a person is relying on their own chokhmah, on their own money, on their own, you know, on their own family to help them, or they're relying on their boss, or they're relying on their doctors. Everyone's always relying on someone, and bitachon means it does. I mean, it uses the word trust here, but in this sense, it means more like relying. So when you're in a situation that you need help with, someone's not well, you're relying on Hashem and you understand that the doctor is the messenger to help, or you're relying on the doctor. If you're relying on the actual doctor, or you're relying on the medicine, then you are still relying on something, because you know it's something that is not in your hand.
The day relies on something at some time in everybody's life.
100%.
If you need help for an operation, you rely on the doctor.
Yeah. And the mashal that I gave last week, that when the difference between choosing a doctor and when we fly somewhere. So with a doctor, you know, if someone needs a surgery on the heart, they do all the research, they make every phone call that they can to make sure that they find the perfect doctor. Well, you want to fly from here across the world, and you look for like the cheapest. Why not? Because the pilot's on the plane with you. So you know that his life is as much at risk as yours, and therefore you trust that he's going to...
Is there a distinction being made between the emotion and the action? Like, I'm trying to get a licensing on something right now, right? And I want an answer. Now, I'm trying not to be uppity about it, but do I just wait for them to reply, or do what I'm doing and email all of them every single day, hey, any updates, hey, any updates, hey, any updates, for the updates, for the updates?
Right, so it depends.
I have reliance on Hashem, and shouldn't I be like, okay, I did my first step, and let's get
this. So that comes on to, and this is going to be a subject that throughout the book... Yeah, very good. That Bitochen and Ishtadlus, they both fill the same space. So the more you have of one, the less you need of the other, and the more you have of the other, the less you need of the first one. So the more Bitochen someone has, the less effort they need to make for it to happen. Because if you believe the stronger your belief is, if I believe that Hashem can lift this cup up from the ground, now I do believe it, but there's no need for Hashem to do it. But let's just do that as an example. The stronger I believe that Hashem can do that, to lift that up and bring it to me, the less effort I would need to put in to bring it to bringing that up.
To bring it to me.
He's not like,
to worry about it. There's a difference between I can put my effort without worrying about it.
Right, yeah, but when, yeah, so when you're messaging,
you're thinking if, your efforts doing the work.
If you've, there always needs to be some point where you can say, I've done what I could have. Now, when you realize that Hashem only needs a little bit from you to be able to do something, because as long as you've got the bitachon, if you're working on the bitachon, then you don't need to work on the
hishadus. God doesn't make bread.
God doesn't make bread, no.
God doesn't make bread. But, we make bread.
Right, but any bread that you've ever seen on the shelf is there because God wanted it, right there, exactly where it was. He made the owner of the factory and the owner of the farm make sure that everything gets to exactly to that place, and he taught them the recipes, and he taught them everything. Every idea, nothing in this world, Hashem is the only one that could do yesh me'ayin, that could create something out of nothingness. And Hashem only did that one time. At the beginning of creation, there was nothingness, and Hashem created somethingness. This is one of the things that you mentioned last week about that singer saying that all the tunes are floating around. What does that mean? That like every tune that we hear nowadays is already floating around somewhere, because everything's already in here. Every good like idea, Saul makes up one day and has an amazing idea for like.
Oh, Michael Jackson saying yeah. It's recorded now. Otherwise, yeah. God's
going to send
Prince the idea.
Yeah. Why? Which means that even he understood that everything's here and everything's coming, and everything's coming from upstairs. If you look at every single one of the inventions that we have, you can look at it as there was a person that woke up one day and managed to work out. If you put this that together,
most of the great things happen by mistake. So the person, it has to be from Hashem, because the person didn't even mean to do that. Just because he did 10 other things
right.
That Hashem
made. Right.
It'll happen by mistake.
Yeah, so that's kind of like Hashem's signature. Like Banksy has got his signature everywhere. So Hashem puts a signature where he puts comedy, he puts things to make us smile. Banksy, one of the most famous artists.
He does these
paintings everywhere, and no one knows, what he looks like, but his signature is in, but his signature is everywhere. Hashem puts a signature anyway. You know, recently when Khamenei was killed, and everyone was so excited that it had the name Hom on it. You think that's random? 80 years ago, when his parents named him, and now for Hashem is like the same instant. Hashem doesn't have a thing of time. So Hashem was like, oh, you know, everyone's going to really appreciate this, and this is going to be a way that they could see. Now, a lot of people just put it on as, wow, like, I just came up with a thing that it's got the name Hom in it. And like, the first few people to put onto their WhatsApp status, like, so excited, they were on the thought of it. Nothing is new. Nothing that you ever think of in your life is new. Everything has already been made. And actually, I was just learning in Tanya about the Sephiros. So there's the 10 layers of concealment that Hashem put round himself to hide his light more and more until it reaches this world where we like don't see him openly. And the layer that's the closest to him, the highest of the 10, is Chochmah. We know that Chabad is Chochmah bin Adas, and then there's the six Midas, which is Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Chod, and Yisod. And then the last one is Malchus, which is this world, which is the action. But the highest one is Chochmah. Why is that the highest one? Because in Chochmah, you can see that it's from Hashem. But you can also miss the point. You can hear about some guy that came up with some crazy good invention and some unbelievable business plan, and he's floating, and you could, by mistake, put all the thing onto him and not realize that Hashem is behind that line also. So Chochmah is actually one of the highest levels. But back to your question about how it works with emotions. So the whole thing of bitachon, the whole thing of security, is definitely an emotional thing. I was doing a barbecue with Jono, and had my two kids with me, my two older kids, and there was bees flying around. Now Ariella is aware that bees can sting, so she was petrified. Izzy had no idea that bees can sting, so he was completely fine. Meaning there was the same bees flying around, the same people doing the same things, landing on them different places. Izzy was fascinated because he doesn't know that it can bite. And the older one was scared because she could see that it's like, she like knows that there's something to be scared of. Izzy had the peace of mind. Why did he have the peace of mind? Because he didn't know that there was anything to be, scared of. One of the ideas that he's trying to bring here is that when you realize that Hashem is running everything, then there's nothing to be scared of, because nothing can work out in a bad way, because Hashem doesn't have the word bad. Huh?
Can we tell Hashem that
Yeah, but so that's what we need to give in order to get. Meaning that we need to be Talmud, because if Hashem wants to send us, I don't know, let's say Hashem wants to send us $300. There's two ways so Hashem is going to give it to us. No matter what happens, Hashem is going to give it to us. There's two different ways how he can give it to us. Either someone can bump into your car, and you've got to go through a whole insurance claim, and that's how the $300 come. Or you could literally walk down the road and you could pick up. Or you could go shopping for something that you needed, and you get a $300 discount on one of the items. There's so many different ways. Go on.
$300 meant to leave your pocket.
Yeah.
You can either leave it through tzedakah.
Very good.
Or you can leave through a knas that you got because you didn't pay your pocket.
Yeah. Or you have someone breaking in. Yeah. Or you can drop your phone in the water. There's many, many ways. And the idea is that when you realize that everything's from Hashem, it makes it much easier. Now, usually, and this is again how you see that it's an emotional thing. The idea of bitachon is that when you look back at times from 5 years ago, if you look back in your history at, you know, things from 5, 10 years ago even, that seemed really, really, really tough at the time. If you were able to go back in time and speak to yourself back then, you would just give yourself a pat on the back, right? You know, buddy, it's absolutely fine. It all worked out. This led on to that, that led on to that, led on to that. You ended up here, you
got this.
And when you're later, then there's already more of a history for you to connect the dots. However, from Hashem's point of view, Hashem has got the history all the way from the beginning of the world, all the way till... till the end, that's the
Yotivot. It's the same thing for Hashem, as far as Hashem's concerned.
In terms of...
if you're winning today because something your grandparents did 100 years ago...
Yeah, as in, Avraham Avinu... The reason why we are here now is because Avraham Avinu was promised that you're going to continue to multiply.
Saying most of the people that want reward in this world don't realise that... the reason you're doing well, I think, is probably because of your great grandparents, and the reason your reward isn't even going to be for you, it's going to be for your grandkids. So it's not something you can see and you can touch.
Also, as in, the reward usually that we're doing is really for the next world. There is a whole subject of Sadiq Virala and Rosh HaBatoblai that it does appear very, very often that a guy who's an absolute mushkas, like the worst of the worst, seems to have everything possible, and a guy who's a massive, massive, massive sadik is literally, you know, is literally struggling. Now the whole book of Eov talks about this. The whole book of Eov is Eov having a conversation. He's suffering and suffering and suffering and suffering. And he's having a whole conversation. The real truth is that there is no answer. That we don't understand everything. The Gemara in Brachos says that Moshe Rabbeinu asked this question to Hashem, why is it Sadiq Virala? Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem in the Gemara in Menachos, why Rabbi Akiva, who was one of the Asura Haror Gemachos, why he was punished like that. And we don't understand everything. However, on a deeper level, Sadiq Virala and Rosh HaVetovla is only something that's in this world. And because we believe in the eternal world, and we believe that what we do down here is going to make a much bigger difference, really, Sadiq Virala, what appears to us down here, is actually really, really good for us. It's actually really good for that Sadiq in the next world, because that Sadiq in the next world, then, because he's not gained anything, so all his chusim stay for him there. And the same with the Rosha that we see very often. There was a story, I don't remember who it was, of two funerals, and one was a Sadiq and one was a Rosha, and they got, like, mixed up, and this guy got loads of covered by his funeral, even though it was a Rosh, and this one got thing. I don't remember when or where. I'll try looking up afterwards. But one of the Gedolim at the time said that was exactly how it was meant to happen. Because obviously this one needed to use up all his zechusim for his covered, his final bits he needed to use up in this world, so that he wouldn't have it once he's up there. But back onto the page that we're saying that everyone is believing in something. And if you don't believe in Hashem, then you are automatically, it means that you are placing your trust in a different entity. And someone who is placing his trust in something other than Hashem, Hashem will remove his divine providence from him and leave him in the hands of the entity in which he placed his trust. So he brings a footnote here. So all the footnotes here all come from one of the Lubavitch Rebbes. All the way down, from the Balatanya, all the way down, they've brought different notes in. In this one, yeah, I'm going to get some of these for next week. This is the same translation, this is from the same company. Yeah, this is, as in, Shah B'tachon is not. Just the footnotes here, yeah, the footnotes here are great. So I'll just read out what he says on this line. He says, this does not mean that God truly removes his providence from the person. Rather, he obfuscates, obfuscates his involvement. Basically, he just hides himself and spins himself somewhere like inside of it. Although everything in the world comes from God, there are two layers of divine providence. There's the inner providence. In this greater layer, God's involvement is not hidden in natural phenomena, and his fingerprints are quite apparent. The person can detect a supernatural force guiding his life. And then there's the external providence. In this lower layer, God is also the ultimate source because everything comes from him. However, this is concealed by natural entrapments. The person cannot detect that God is involved, and he feels as if he is leading his own destiny. So he's just pointing out here that when it says that Hashem removes his providence from you, it doesn't mean that he stops looking after you. Because Hashem, we say, Tov Hashem Lakol, Hashem gives unlimited goodness. Hashem is chesed, he's rachmim. Hashem just gives and gives and gives, but it will become murkier to see how he's giving. And like we said earlier, that the same money which you need to get or lose can be done in really nice ways, which is when you're living with bitachon and you see, wow, that's like a really nice way. Baruch Hashem, it was this and not that. Or it could be taken from you in a horrible way. And that is what Hashem will do, that if you believe that a particular thing other than him is where you're getting everything from, then Hashem will make it feel to you like you're getting everything from that other thing. So if you believe that your money is coming from your boss, then Hashem will allow you to carry on feeling that. However, if Hashem has decided that you're not meant to be getting X amount of this time, it's going to come across horribly, because you're going to be sitting there begging from your boss when you really should just go into a Shemayin Esra and you could talk straight to Hashem. V'yiyah k'mi sh'neim aboy ki sh'tayim rois osa ami oisi ozvu mekarimayim chayim lachsoiv lahem boros nishbarim. So this is in Yirmiyah. He's saying that they did two things wrong. Sh'tayim rois osa. They did two things wrong. Number one, they have forsaken me, who is the spring of living waters. I am the source of everything. And number two, what are they going to do? They've gone to dig for themselves pits that do not hold water. So there's two things wrong. There's number one, we've left Hashem, and number two, we've gone to rely on something that can't actually hold up. The Omar, now we'll see all the way through the Shaar B'Tachon that he brings loads of pesukim to prove every point that he's bringing. Because he didn't do it that he bought the point and then he wanted to back himself up. He went and learnt the whole Nach, he learnt it all properly, and he saw from there why the Bitachon was so important. So he brings proofs from everywhere to try to show how interwoven everything is, and why it's not just like a nice thing, like a nice sweet thing to make a brush on, how it's actually like anywhere and everywhere that you look in the Torah, you will see more and more. So for each point he brings, I think, somewhere between 5 and 7 proofs. So the next proof is V'omar V'yamiru eskavoydom B'tavneshoy Oichal Esev, that we see by the Egel Azov. So what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu was up there for 40 days and they had miscalculated and they thought he was going to be coming back. Now they wanted to serve someone. They were waiting for the Torah and the Torah wasn't coming. They just wanted to serve. So Aaron had tried to delay them as much as possible, but they ended up making a breathing golden calf. And the next pasuk, I just photocopied it just so we see, it's about two pasukim later, it says, Vayome lehashmidom. Hashem was very angry that after everything that he had done for them, they went and wanted to serve something else, and Hashem was willing to destroy them straight away. Lule Moshe Bechiro Amad Beperes Defanov. However, Moshe's chosen one stood in front of him, Lahoshev Chamosoi Mehashchis, to calm him down. But we see that that as soon as we do go and we want to serve something else, Hashem is done with us, because Hashem made the whole world only so that we should serve him. The Tanya brings many different ways of look at it, either because Hashem just wants to give and you need to have someone to give to, or because Hashem is a king and a king needs to have subjects. But either way, as soon as we rely on something else, what we're really doing is we are turning our back on Hashem, and that would, as we see from the Egel, if not for Moshe, that would have been the end of the Jewish nation. V'omar Kosov, another pasuk that he brings to prove this point, Baruch HaGeva Sheyiftach B'Hashem, V'hay Hashem Mivtachoy, which we say in the end of Birkat HaMazon, blessed is the man who relies on Hashem, and Hashem is his support. V'omar Ashri HaGeva Ashesom Hashem Mivtachoy, V'loy Pono El Rehovim V'Sateh Chazov, He also says another pasuk: fortunate is the man who made the Lord his support and did not turn to the haughty and those who turn to falsehood. So we see from the pasuk that as soon as we're saying praiseworthy is the person who did this, v'loy panal rahavim, meaning that it's always a choice that you're either serving Hashem or you are serving something else. It's not possible to say that you're serving Hashem, that you're not serving Hashem, but you're not really serving anything else.
The Hebrew word is niftach or niftacho, niftach, is that right, for reliance or support?
Yeah. Betach. Yeah, what does betach mean? Betach, definitely. Bitachon, when you've got a guard, it's bitachon. It all stems from the same word, and it's all just a feeling of being safe and supported and secure. And just the final pasuk of this point, va'oma ora geva shayiftach ba'adam v'som bosa ze ra'ay or min Hashem yasadibay. Curse is the man who relies in man and makes flesh his arm, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. So something interesting, it says v'som bosa ze ra'ay. Now meat. So what it literally means is that he puts his trust into flesh. Now it uses the word bosa for flesh, because bosa is something that it disintegrates very quickly. It goes moldy, it goes smelly very, very, very quickly. Whilst Hashem, as we know from Moedim, we say, I know, maybe it's in the regular Moedim, not on the one on the wall. We say that Hashem is the tzur. Hashem is a rock. Hashem is something solid. Hashem is never going to disintegrate down, never going to break apart into little pieces, and relying on him. Oh, tzureinu tzur chayenu, that he is the rock of our lives, and we refer to Hashem as something that's much more stable, something that we know has always been there and will always be there. And here it's saying, "Ora geva sheyiftach ba adam v'sam basa zeroya," that you're really putting your hopes into something that's not very long lasting, and at the same time, "Omen Hashem yosol liboy," and from Hashem you have turned your heart. So these are the psukim which explain the first point that he's trying to bring out, which is that it's an either or. Either you're relying on Hashem or you're relying on something else. And from next week, we're going to see about what some of these other things are that a person tends to rely on. The first one, as we said, is wisdom, his own wisdom and physical strength. But we'll do that next week. Chazak, chazak, minit chazak.